Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings and welcome. Brother Fidel here, delighted to be sitting in once again on this Holy Spirit divinely designed interactive broadcast, the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast. Once again, Brother Fidel sitting in for the dynamic duo of the Honorable Apostle Dr. LaTanya Turner and the prophetic pastor, Deborah Freeman. This broadcast is sponsored by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Our service times are 12 noon, and I cordially extend an invitation to you to join us in service. The doors of the church have always remained open. Excited to be coming to you today with the word of the Lord. Beloved, it is such an awesome privilege and an honor to break the word of life with you. And that word comes to you in the form of a question that I want you to ponder and meditate upon. The word was released to me during one of my daily devotional reading, and the reading was from Luke chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. Before we get into that word, please allow me to share an experience I had on an online app called Clubhouse. Clubhouse, the app, allows people to go into different online rooms where different subjects are discussed. And I went into a particular room and the subject was, can you be a good Christian and not go to church? Based on this question, I realized right away that the moderator was defining church in that particular instance as a place where people go, as opposed to the people themselves. When I was called up on the stage to speak, I drew the distinction between the ekklesia, the Greek word for church, which is indicative or means the people who are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, and the place where they meet, which is commonly referred to as the church. As far as the term good Christian goes, my response to that was, it is about the goodness of God our Father that is manifested through a Christian, and not so much the so-called good works that he or she does. There were some things I heard in the discussion that truly alarmed me that I want to touch on. One of them being the amount of people who didn't think it was necessary to go to services or to gather in an assembly. I actually heard one person say, I just gather together with my family at home, which is not a bad thing, but that should never replace the assembling of ourselves together. Of course, we use wisdom in the time and season of the global pandemic. I heard the personal pronoun used a lot, I, used on many occasions during the discussion, which was all about what the person speaking felt or what they thought they should do, not what the Bible actually instructs the believer to do. My response was to quote the scripture, not to give a personal opinion, which to my utter shock brought some criticism from some in the virtual room. I quoted Hebrews 10:25, which reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Mind you, in a global pandemic, the gathering can be done via a social media platform or some type of communication platform like Zoom. But a gathering is still necessary for the growth and development of the believer. Hence the importance, beloved, of another scripture I quoted, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And he, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Why? for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's saying these gifts were given to the body by the Lord Jesus Christ for the edifying, for the equipping, for the perfecting. Now, it is admirable to do home fellowship with your family, but that was never intended to lead one to perfection and to fullness. There are tangible benefits that we get from being in an assembly, in a congregation where the gifts of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the aforementioned gifts given to the body, and what they have to offer gets disseminated. Nothing can and should circumvent that process that was instituted by the master builder of the church, because that is the way he intended it to be. He's instructed us and given us the blueprint for our growth and development. It's not about individuals' personal opinion. The relevance must be placed always on the Word of God. Now, of course, some people began to talk about King James and what he did to the Bible. But you always hear people saying things like this, but they can never offer one shred of evidence that it was done. They simply parrot things that they have heard from naysayers. Beloved, if we want it God's way, then we have to do it God's way. If we want to do the things that Jesus did, we have to be obedient to his instructions. Sheep need a shepherd. There is a reason why one of the gifts given to the church is the teacher. You can stay at home and read the Bible with your family, but at some point you will need a teacher. You will need to be taught. The meeting place can be in a house, like we see in the book of Acts, or it can be in a tent in the wilderness, like we see in the book of Exodus. The important thing is there is biblical precedent for a gathering. It is supported in the Bible. Well, my quoting of the scriptures must have hit a raw nerve, because one individual in between cursing asked, cuss words coming out of his mouth, he asked the question and made the statement, well, what church did Jesus go to? He ain't go to no church. This is what the individual said. He said Jesus just went about doing good. Is that all he did? Did Jesus forsake the assembly of himself? So to this response and question, of course I humbly disagreed, based again on what the Bible teaches and instructs us, which is a segue point for the scripture I referenced and quoted in the room, and where our subject is taken from. What is your custom? Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. And when the devil, the Bible said, had completed every temptation, he departed from Jesus for a season, a more opportune time. Now, season there is the Greek word kairos, and it means, right, a more opportune time. The adversary is relentless and opportunistic in his quest to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Now, the word goes on to say, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a fame went out concerning him throughout all the region round about. Now, listen to this. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Let me repeat the second part. That second part, in light of what the person in the virtual room said about Jesus being in an assembly. He said, well, where did Jesus go? He just went about doing good. He certainly did. But he also went somewhere. The Bible says he taught in their synagogue, in their assembly. Hold on there for a moment. Because somebody in the room also actually mentioned, well, you know, they met in the wilderness coming out of Egypt. Yes, they did. But God instructed Moses, according to the book of Exodus, that they should build a tent of meeting, a place of assembly. When they got into the promised land, David wanted to build him a house. But that illustrious opportunity was given to his son Solomon, who built what? A sanctuary where the people could go in. And when they rebelled against God and God caused them to go into captivity, later on, they would assemble in synagogues. The idea being a place of meeting. So this idea is that individuals can kind of do the Burger King thing and have it their way does not meet the muster of Scripture. Scripture teaches from Genesis to Revelation about the people of God assembling together. Let's go further. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. In other words, he came back to the village where he grew up. And the Bible says, and he entered as his custom was into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Hence the reason for the question, what is your custom? And this is what I began to explain in the virtual room. The custom of Jesus was to go into the synagogue, into the assembly on the Sabbath day. And I also mentioned the point, beloved, that yes, when he went in there, they were not in the order that God expected him to be in. Remember, in one particular instance, he had to turn over the table of the money changers because instead of a house of prayer, they had turned it into a house of merchandising. Yet he still did not forsake assembling himself with them. He set the order and the structure, or reset it, and then began to heal all those who came to him for healing. So you notice something very interesting in life. Individuals, something will happen to them in the church. They get offended and all of a sudden they have zero tolerance. They don't want to go to church anymore. You know, they start to talk about hypocrites. But they don't use that same measure when they're dealing with other entities and institutions. What am I saying? They get offended on the job, but they don't walk off the job and decide to stay home. They get offended in supermarkets and post offices, etc., but they don't hold these other institutions to the standards that they hold the church. It is because basically they want to have it their own way. They want to create or recreate their own God, which allows them to do what they want to do. And when challenged, they make frivolous excuses. Jesus went into the assembly in Nazareth where he had been brought up. This was his custom, to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the word of God. So what was Jesus's custom? To go into the meeting place, the local assembly in his hometown. This was his custom, and it must be the custom of every person who claims to be his follower. Now, again, in the midst of a global pandemic, we understand that we have to make adjustments. We may have to meet online, even though it's interesting to me that we stand online in supermarkets, in the post office and other places, socially distanced with masks on. But all of a sudden, when it comes to assembling in the church and doing the same thing, maybe wearing a mask, social distancing, no, we can't go to church anymore. Let's define the word custom as it is used in the text as we think about the subject. What is your custom? Custom is the Greek word etho, E-T-H-O. It is a primary verb which symbolizes action. Etho means to be used. It also speaks of a person's habit or their manner. This is where we get another word, the word ethos, E-T-H-O-S. This word means an individual's character. More specifically, the characteristic spirit of a culture, era, or community, as manifested in its beliefs and aspirations. So what was Jesus's ethos, his custom? What type of spirit did he have to make sure he did not forsake assembling or going into the synagogue? So, an important ethos of the Christian community is what the Greeks call koinonia, assembling together for worship, right? We saw it in the early church. They went into the synagogue, but they also assembled in houses, going from house to house, having prayer, having services, having fellowship, because we were not created by Almighty God to be distanced from one another, especially in the body of Christ. It is all about the koinonia, the fellowship, the coming together, the exchanging of the gifts, the building and edifying one another up in our most holy faith. Hosea 4:6, to the individuals who think they could do it their way and shun what the Bible says, God's manual, his instructions. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, God speaking, are what? Destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it's not because knowledge is not available, because thou has what? Rejected knowledge. When they begin to make excuses and reject the word, they are rejecting knowledge. And what is the outcome? The Lord says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law or the word of thy God. I will also forget thy children. So we have a generation of children coming up who are emulating their parents. They think they don't need to be in the word of God. They don't need to be assembling with believers of like-minded thinking, right? So Jesus's habit, again, his manner, the spirit on the inside of him, his ethos, beloved, was all about the things of God. It was about the things of the kingdom. This was his custom, his ethos, his character. And it ought to be the character of every single believer. Hence my question to you again, what is your custom? And the question is asked of myself, what type of character, ethos do you have? What spirit are you operating in? Is it the type that causes you to focus on the things of God despite all the things coming to distract you? Or are you just following the crowd going? I was shocked because I thought when I went into the room, I went into a room with individuals who actually believed and trusted in the word of God. You know, when I began to hear, you know, people, you know, I feel and I think, I'm like, so I had to stand on what the word says. I said, well, listen, I'm not here to give, you know, personal opinion on what I think. I'm here to give what the word says. Glory to God. Because it is the manual, it is the instruction booklet. Because my point is, well, if you're not standing and trusting in the word of God, where are you getting your information? And of course, you know, individuals begin to talk about the King James Version. Well, that's not the only translation of the Bible. And of course, they began to talk about the Apocrypha. Well, go and read the Apocrypha if you want to. But my thing is this, glory to God, when you go into the Bible that we have from Genesis to Revelation, if you live 1,000 years, you probably still wouldn't be able to master everything that's written therein. So why are these people distracting themselves talking about other books when they're not even adhering to the instructions given to us from Genesis to Revelation? We read about Jesus' custom in the word going back to the time when he was a child. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, his parents went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Now, you see how they brought Jesus up. going up to Jerusalem, glory to God, for that koinonia, for that fellowship, for that worship based on the instructions that God, Almighty God, had given to Moses, right? Jesus is 12 years old and his parents are taking him up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. There's that word again. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Look where he's tarrying at 12 years old. Look at his custom at 12 years old. Not just to be out there doing anything, but in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Well, I don't know how you can not have Jesus in your company and not know it, even at 12 years old. But that's for another day. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. Listen, beloved, we can't suppose. We have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt where Jesus is. So they go a day's journey and then they begin to seek him or sought him amongst their kinfolks and acquaintance, right? Figuring that he must be among some of the family members. Listen to this, beloved, as we dig deeper into this word, what is your custom? And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Guess where they found him? In the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. You know what's fascinating? When you get in these discussion rooms and you begin to listen to people and you hear the error, right, of their words and their thinking, how different it is from what's written in the Bible, and you actually bring out a scripture, then they start to move the goalposts around, right? They start to come up with frivolous excuses about translation and all type of other nonsense that have nothing to do with the substance and the instructions found in God's word. Look at Jesus's custom. Beloved, even if the world comes against us, we must stand on the revelation and the instructions given to us in the word. Because the Apostle Paul, under the unction of Holy Spirit, wrote about a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. The sound doctrine that is at the crux and the meat of God's word. But instead, they would heap on themselves teachers having itching ears, believing fables as opposed to believing the word of God. And he instructs us, he said, look, from such turn away. So they don't wind up corrupting or influencing our thought. So they find him, ladies and gentlemen, in Jerusalem, in the temple. They don't find him just hanging out, running around, playing. Because this was his custom. It was ingrained in him to be in the temple. And he's sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding, beloved, and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His parents were amazed at 12 years old. They were amazed that he's in the temple, right? Glory to God, sitting, listening to and asking questions of the doctors. And of course, his mother said unto me, he's 12 years old, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? In other words, wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And his father's business, part of it was being in the temple, being in the assembly. Glory to God. This is what God instructs us to do in his word. Let God be true, ladies and gentlemen. And let every man or woman that comes up in opposition to his word be a liar. It's not about, again, an individual's personal opinion. The scriptures that we read, glory to God, came as holy men of God, were moved by the Spirit of God to write that which the Spirit gave them. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost. So he said unto them, Jesus did, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Well, where do we get our instructions concerning the Father's business? We get it from the Bible, His holy word. That's where we get it from. We don't get it from individuals' opinion who want to do things and have things their way. Let me reread Jesus' response from the American Standard Version, Luke 2:49 in the ASV. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Glory to God. Here again, ladies and gentlemen, my beloved Eagles, listeners to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, as I reiterate, his ethos, his character, his spirit was being about his Father's business. I must be in my Father's house. What focus for a 12-year-old? The character, the tenacity, the spiritual fortitude to be about his Father's business. The spirit that was in him gave him the wisdom, which caused astonishment on the part of the doctors who listened to him. When they heard the wisdom, they were amazed that a 12-year-old could reason with them in the manner which Jesus did. What does that tell us? It tells us that when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, irrespective of age, gender, etc., the Spirit will manifest wisdom in and through us. The key is we must be about the Father's business, and part and parcel of that is assembling ourselves together. It must be our custom. There is an incident recorded in John chapter 2 when Jesus drove again some people out of the temple. He accused of making it a house of merchandise. Remember? But again, he does not neglect to go in there because things were not perfect in there, right? He still went in there, and again, he set the order and brought the people back to an understanding of what the purpose of God's house is. So let us not use excuses, glory to God, to neglect being obedient in the instructions God has given us. Glory to God. I bless you today, and I thank you so much for joining in on the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast. Remember, the broadcast is sponsored by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North, in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Service times at 12 noon. We cordially, beloved, extend an invitation for you and yours to join us. And remember, Dr. Turner, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has recorded a tremendous, tremendous prayer CD. I encourage you to get that CD. It will be a tremendous blessing and a tremendous encouragement to you. If you have questions, things that you're dealing with that's difficult, please email us, askdrturner8@gmail.com. That's askdrturner8@gmail.com. Or you can visit us on the web, where you can obtain Dr. Turner's prayer CD at AskDrTurner.org. And beloved, once again, I would be remiss if I did not remind the listener that the broadcast is designed with you in mind. So if you're struggling, if you're dealing with some type of crisis, health, financial, marital, or otherwise, please take this opportunity now, ladies and gentlemen, to call our prayer line. One of our dedicated intercessors is waiting to take your call. 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.